Well, it's good to be back with you this morning. How is everybody this morning? You're all good? Smiling still after the announcement last Sabbath? We were worshiping at the Brookings Seventh-day Adventist Church last Sabbath. But I was sitting there, and I'll have to admit that my mind was here. It's good to be back with church family. And we were praying for you as we were worshiping up there. Life is interesting, isn't it? You know, I studied four years, and then I ended up in Grants Pass as a youth pastor. And I was also in charge of the Spanish group. They had a Spanish group there. So I was doing youth and Spanish group. And then after, I don't know, three years of that, they decided that I needed more education, so they shipped me to Andrews. And then I came back, and they gave me two churches, which is Rogue River and North Valley. And after about 4 years of that, then I went to Washington, two more churches, Riverside and Stevenson. And then I came back here, and I thought I had graduated. I was like, oh, one church. I wonder how that feels. Well, I guess experience sometimes takes you back to where you started from, so here we are again. We are a church district now, and we have a sister church. I was wondering how that's going to play off, because when I came here, remember, it was the whole marriage of me and the church type of thing. But that doesn't work anymore. I was telling my wife, you know, that would make me a spiritual polygamist. So now it's a sister church. It's a sister church. And you know what? God will see us through. You know, I was telling some of you that the important thing for me as a pastor is the attitude that we have as a church. It will make it a lot easier for me if we just embrace it and we go with it. Amen? Amen. Being positive, it's a good thing. Just one request that I'm going to ask. Okay, it's a request. I'm not asking you not to do it. I'm requesting. But all of you have freedom of choice. God gave you that since the beginning. There are a few of you that have asked, could we go to Ashland? And there's a special reason why. See, some of them have been asked to preach at Ashland. And so they want to go one Sabbath and experience worship and get to know the people and just, you know, get ready to do that. If you're not going there to preach, I would personally ask that you support your church here. Okay? I know that you're just probably saying that because you want to make me feel good. That some of you might go to Ashland when I'm not here the Sabbath. So I'm just asking, please don't do that. Because if I see you sitting there, I'm going to assume you want to preach. And I'm going to put you on the list. So my warning has been given. I just want to share a little bit of what's been going on in my life, our life. Our home has been on the market for about a year and 8 months. And finally, I think it's selling. That's a big amen. But here's the thing. After all everything is done and said and the numbers are, you know, the bottom line, $15,210.50 are going to be added to our mortgage. And that's okay, though. House is gone. That's all right. About a year and a half ago also, we were heading to a camp meeting, and if you've been to Gladstone, exit 11, right? When you're getting to Gladstone, we were going exit 11, and all of a sudden the van just... And some of you know our transmission blew out about a year and a half ago. So during camp meeting, we got it fixed, and that was like $1,400. Well, two Thursdays ago, I was here at this fast turn junction, and it did the same thing again. And I say, uh-oh. I was able to get over here, take my son to his class, dropped him off. I put it on reverse. Nothing. Tried it. Started it again, put it on reverse, dead. Well, wouldn't you know it, the transmission gave out again. That's $2,400 later. But it's fixed, praise the Lord. Now we still have two cars. Last Monday, here I am trying to get things, you know, because I use my computer. You wouldn't believe how much I use my computer for sermons and all those things. Last Monday, I opened my computer, and do you remember when it fell off and it cracked my screen? Well, last Monday, I opened it up, and then it flickered. I said, no, that's not good. And then I came back in the afternoon, I opened it up again, black. Screen is gone again. That's why I was using a monitor to see what I was, seeing through. And, thing after thing after thing. And I'm telling you this not so you could feel pity for me, because I know some of you are going through a lot more than what we're going through. You know, these things that some of you, what I'm going through, peanuts compared to what some of you are going through. But you know, I have to keep a verse in my heart that says, a joyful heart is a good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. The last time when that monitor just quit, I laughed. What else could I do? It's like, okay, devil, you're not going to dry up my bones. I'm going to laugh about this because the Lord is greater than you are, and you're going to take care of it somehow. Amen? He always does. But compared to what the world is experiencing, then my problems just fall off the scale. January 9, Eureka experienced, California, they experienced a 6.5 earthquake. Okay? Now, it didn't do much damage because it was 10 miles deep and it was 20 miles from Eureka. 4 days later, Port-au-Prince experienced a 7.0. And you know what happened there. As a matter of fact, not the following Sabbath, the one after that, my brother-in-law went to Haiti with a team. And he's going to be here for a second wind to give a report of what went on over there, things that he saw. Things that are really happening over there. And so if you want to come, that would be the second wind hour there. But, you know, I believe that we are experiencing what the Bible says, maybe the beginnings of labor pains. Ladies, you know about labor pains. Moms, you know about labor pains. When they first start. First of all, you can't stop them. They could induce some things medically. But naturally, once they start, they what? They keep going. Two, they more often, right? And they worsen. Yeah, they don't get any better. They get more painful. But there's good news at the end, right? You know that the baby is going to come, and after that, it's going to be... release, peace, you get to sleep and the nurses take over. Sometimes. But that's the good news about all this, about these labor pains, that Jesus Christ is coming soon. But unfortunately, all the things that are happening have to happen. Matthew 24, 7 and 8 says, and there shall be earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And I think that the Lord is preparing me, is preparing you, because we here in America, like I said a few weeks back, I think the Lord is sparing us. The angels are holding back the winds for some reason. But eventually those angels are going to let go of the winds. And how is your faith going to be when that happens? How are we going to be able to stand when that happens? Life of Joseph. You know, we're going to have a vacation Bible school here about the life of Joseph. And so the life of Joseph teaches us a few things of how we should react to certain situations in our life. Joseph had very discouraging situations, didn't he? In the life of Joseph, there was betrayal. In the life of Joseph, there was hunger. In the life of Joseph, there was seduction. There was imprisonment. As a matter of fact, in the life of Joseph, when he was second in command of the whole world, so to speak, there was probably even temptation of revenge. I'm going to get even now because I have the power to do that. But as we read, And because Joseph had a connection with God, Joseph had a connection with the Lord, everything that he went through, he had this amazing perspective about the trials of his life. Why? Because he was connected with God. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you four questions this morning. All right. And the questions are questions that I want you just to meditate upon. Don't answer out loud. I don't want to hear answers. I just want you to meditate upon the questions that I'm going to ask you and see how you will respond or how you would respond to times of trouble, when the times get tough, when your life bottoms out. When you stand before the sea, and on this side there are cliffs and mountains, and on this side cliffs and mountains, and behind you armies, the army of Pharaoh is closing in. When you find yourself in that situation, how do you react? And so the questions I'm going to ask you are for you just to think. And the first one is this. When you are in a pit, do you demand to understand why? When you're in a pit, do you demand to understand why? Now, there's a difference between seeking to know why and demanding to understand why. It is okay to ask the Lord why things are happening in your life. It is okay to share your heart with the Lord. You know, sometimes our heart is saying, Lord, this and that, and our heart inside our mind, we are upset at the Lord and we are just fuming in here. But what we pray to the Lord is, thank you, Lord. You're so wonderful. And the Lord is saying, why are you doing that, my child? I know your heart. And doesn't it say somewhere that to pray is to share your heart to the Lord as to a friend? And if He already knows our heart, why shouldn't we ask the Lord why? We need to seek Him for wisdom and understanding in the middle of all our trials. I mean, there were some that even wrestled with the Lord. literally. I mean, they came out limping, but with a blessing. And you know what? I'd rather come out limping with a blessing than with no answers at all. It's okay to ask the Lord why. But you know what? Demanding. If you are demanding what the Lord, why, Lord? Why? Demanding, all it's going to cause is that you're going to get frustrated. And you're going to end up with a lot more questions than answers. And sometimes we just need to understand that God is God and He has a plan. Question number two. Are you a fair-weather Christian? In other words, do you tend to stop serving the Lord in times of adversity? If Joseph was a fair-weather Christian, there were so many times in his life that he could have said, I quit. It's not worth serving the Lord. And yet, Joseph refused. He refused to allow his circumstances to dictate how he was going to serve God. He trusted the Lord. In the Bible, as I read, few people were treated as unfairly as Joseph was. Have you ever been treated unfairly? Probably some of you haven't, or probably some of you more than most of us. Joseph was treated unfairly. And yet, in his heart, he chose always to serve God. Always. He chose to serve no matter how hard the things got. Third question I have for you this morning. When you're in a pit, do you bow to bitterness? When you are in a pit, do you bow to bitterness? Bitterness, they say, it's like an acid that destroys its container. And I see sometimes a lot of Christians, these vessels that the Lord has, walking around destroying themselves because they are harboring bitterness. Bitterness. And yet, if you walk with the Lord, and that's the secret to all this, if you walk with the Lord, you will refuse to allow the breaks and breakdowns of life to destroy you. Because remember, brothers and sisters, if you really believe that what we are seeing here is prophetic, and if in the world, and if you really believe that the labor pains have started, then they're just going to get stronger and worse and more frequent. If you allow God in your life, you will find a quiet confidence. You will find serenity. You will find peace. See, all those things that I mentioned, they're more important than financial security. Financial security, it's good. And sometimes, you know, we wonder why the Lord didn't bestow a little bit more of that on us. But peace, confidence, serenity in the midst of trouble is far, far much better than that. Let me read something for you. Because times are going to get harder. Great Conflict, pages 589 and 590. While appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their maladies, he will bring disease and disaster, he, Satan, until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. Even now, he is at work in accidents, calamities by sea and by land, in great conflagrations, in fierce tornadoes, terrific hailstorms, tempests, floods, cyclones, tidal waves, and earthquakes in every place, and in a thousand forms, Satan is exercising his power. He sweeps away the ripening harvest, and famine and distress follow. He imparts to the air a deadly taint, and thousands perish by the pestilence. These visitations are to become more and more frequent and disastrous. The destruction will be upon both man and beast. Isaiah 24:4-5. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The haughty people do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Is it going to get worse? It's going to get worse. Have we been given assurance of serenity, peace, and confidence? Yes, we have. If we walk with the Lord. And finally, the last question. Do you tend to push providence when times get hard? Let me ask that again so you can think about it. Do you tend to push providence when times get hard? Let me just tell you one thing this morning. And if this is the only thing you remember out of the sermon, great. God is always working. Even when you can't see Him, even when you can't feel that He is working, He is working. Regardless of how we feel. Because God is in control. Remember Joseph there in the jail? Two men, two dreams. One was good news, one was bad news. Butler, he got good news. All right? Baker, like they say, he met his maker. But the butler, as he's exiting the jail, Joseph says, remember me? And he says, I will. Well, he did. 2 years later, Pharaoh was having these dreams, and, you know, and then he says, by the way, I mean, 2 years later, put yourself in Joseph's situation. You're praying, Lord, yay, this man knows that I could interpret dreams. Oh, this is going to be great. Lord, thank you. Please get me out of here soon. So a week goes by. Lord, you're not answering my prayer. 2 weeks go by. Lord, where are you? I mean, I'm doing all the things that you have asked me. I mean, I'm 6 months go by. Lord, where are you? You know, by the ninth month, maybe some of us would be already discouraged and start even doubting, saying, is there a God? 2 years. Joseph might have asked, why? But I think in everything that Joseph had seen in his life, why would he doubt God now? Why would he? And so this morning, today, maybe what you need to do is stop trying to make things happen while you wait on the Lord. Stop trying to do the things that the Lord wants to do for you. Maybe we need to stop trying to get ahead of the Lord and just sit back and let the Lord do what He has to do. Because I believe that God has a plan. God has a purpose for each one of you. God has a purpose for all of us. God has a purpose for this church here in the valley. There is a plan. And He will even let us walk through hard times in this world. You will have tribulation. How we handle that tribulation, it really depends on how close we're walking with the Lord. So when hard times come along, and they will, okay? I'm sorry, but I need to say that hard times will, even harder. But when they come along, I believe that we need to stand on the promises that the Lord has given us. Promises like Psalm 27:14, where it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Psalm 35 says, for His anger is but for a moment, His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Amen. Did you notice what this said? It says, when you walk through the fire. Not around the fire. He's going to get you through the fire, but He is going to be there with you. Amen. 1 Peter 4:12 and 13, it says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. And then it says, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. In Romans 8:38 and 39, this is my favorite one, one of my favorite ones. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When things get tough, He has promised to be there. And He will keep His promises. Isaiah 41:10, fear not. Every time the angels came to a prophet, they fainted. And what were the first things out of their mouth? Don't be afraid. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. That's the promise of the Lord. He will uphold us with His righteous hand. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, the eternal God is your refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. God is sending His Son soon to take us home. Are you ready? Will you be ready? Philippians 4:13. You want to repeat that with me? We all know Philippians 4:13, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. That means I can go through a fiery trial with Jesus Christ next to me, and that fire will not burn us. It will not scorch us. Amen? Psalm 31:24. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all of you who hope in the Lord. Do you still have hope? You know, we sing about it. We have this hope. We have this hope. And I hope the hope in your hearts is Christ Jesus. And then from the mouth of Jesus Christ Himself, open your Bibles to John 14. All your Bibles. And if you don't have one, there should be one in front of you. So I want everybody to open your Bibles. The ones that you brought, the ones you didn't. And if you have it all memorized, praise the Lord. John chapter 14, verse 27. And I'll wait till I hear the pages stop. That tells me that all of you have reached that 14:27. Peace, and this is Jesus speaking. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And just a few chapters over, 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have, notice, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen? Is God with us? Amen. And yes, troubles will come, hard times will come. But you know, with Jesus Christ, we could stand here this Sabbath morning and say, bring it on. We could move forward because Jesus Christ is with us. God knows the plan and the purpose for your life. That you could be sure of. Don't doubt. But if you do, take out the Word of God. Because the Word of God, those are the promises that we need to stand on. This is the Word of God. God has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. And if you ever doubt it, well, that's fine and dandy. But remember that whether you're doubting or not, God has a plan. He really does. He really does. Let's sing. Let's have our closing hymn, Standing on the Promises. And this is a song that we cannot sit down to sing. So, I'm going to ask all of you to stand. That's the first thing, to stand. Second thing is that you're going to sing this song. And let's see if we could crack some windows this morning. No, don't throw the books at them. Sing like we mean it, because we need to stand on the promises of God. Number 518, hymn number 518.
Standing on the promises of Christ,
my King,
through eternal ages let His praises ring.
Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. That sounded great, and I hope you keep that song in your heart, because as Christians, as Seventh-day Adventists, we are waiting for our Lord Jesus Christ. It is going to get worse, but we need to stand on the promises of our Lord. Let's bow our heads and have prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship together as a church family. And Father, we know that the devil is out working hard. He has but a short time. And yes, at times the things that are happening around the world will affect us. But I just pray that all of us will trust you completely and will keep trusting the Word of God. Thank you. Be with us now as we leave this sacred place. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.